As Hawaii schools close, the teaching and the learning continued virtually. That includes Mid-Pacific Institute. The private school in Manoa has been using a deeper learning approach, which is more student-centered and project-based. To teach this method, the school started the Kupuho Academy, which trains not just Mid-Pacific teachers, but all teachers. With in-person workshops out of the question due to social distancing rules, Kupuho is offering professional development courses online. Mark Hines is the Academy's director. He spoke with The Conversation's Jason Ubai and discussed deeper learning and virtual learning.
When we talk about deeper learning, this is a term that's become a lot better understood in our community, but the concepts of it have been around since the early 1900s with John Dewey. And that idea is that in order to students really understand deep, meaningful academic content, that we want them to do things where they grapple with ideas, where they use them to think critically about what they mean. They use that information to solve complex problems. They have an implied need to communicate to each other, to experts, to a larger community, what they're learning and doing. That they have to do this collaboratively, that these things require a collective effort to understand, build, and then address a problem. It also has some of the same things that we hear a lot in the news now about kids knowing how to learn, about this idea of academic resilience, about the mindset of that I can learn to address problems and that I can become self-directed and learn those things on my own. So those aren't relatively new ideas. But the umbrella that things like project-based learning, place-based learning, inquiry learning, those all have an agreed-upon set of behaviors and outcomes that you can see when students and teachers are in the midst of doing that work. The question about pedagogy is all of us that went through schools 20 or 30 years ago probably had a similar experience where the teacher's role was to give us information and our goal was to memorize it and then to give it back. And so the pedagogy is the how. It's how teachers design the opportunity for kids to address content or to understand information. When we talk about deeper learning pedagogies, we talk about ones in which the teacher does much more of upfront planning to set the context so that the learners do most of the heavy lifting. They do the thinking, the talking, the designing, the evidence creation. You don't just take a test for short-term memory, but you actually have to apply information. And so the ways that teachers need to adjust their thinking about what it means to do instruction in a class, how they help students come to understand the information that's important in their discipline, and the ways that they collect evidence from those students, are the things that our deeper learning work that we do help teachers figure out how to make that more effective and to understand better how to collect that data that they need.
Now, with distance learning and virtual learning, how does this apply to folks learning online, and how is it different than traditional learning?
You know, it's really an interesting moment because in the last 20 years, there's been a tremendous amount of research that's been done from the early days of virtual learning when the internet first made it possible. I mean, distance learning has been happening for 100 years through correspondence courses and just being able to get a book and read it. But the idea of having a mediated, meaning that I'm not just taking something off the shelf and reading it, but there's an expert or a guide or a facilitator alongside me to help me ask questions, to help shape my learning pathway, that's a much more in the last 20 years of research. And the early attempts at doing distance learning were just a teacher delivering content, you know, sort of turning traditional classroom teaching into online learning. And that had really poor outcomes. And so there's been a lot of work done, including at the University of Hawaii, where I've done my advanced graduate work, that we've looked at the ways by which designing powerful virtual learning experiences can be as effective or even more effective in times for learners, because it gives them time, it gives them a lot more opportunity to differentiate the kinds of media and resources that they can attach to. It allows them to reach out to a wider variety of a network and to talk more frequently with their peers and with other experts. And as a result, when a instructor designs a virtual environment so that it leverages the things that make virtual learning powerful. Learning can be more effective than in face-to-face environments just because of the ability for it to be more personalized. And one of the surprising things about this is in schools, we tend to favor one kind of learner who learns at a certain pace and at least in traditional learning, receives information didactically. Teacher says something, student responds. Teacher says something, student responds. And with the opportunities of virtual learning to diversify the way students come to the learning that they're understanding and the ways they can interact, it opens up the possibility for more learners to be successful because it can honor their preference of learning more effectively. So there's a lot of good reasons to look at this moment and say, well, we didn't expect everyone to have to teach virtually, but since we're here, let's first of all make sure we're giving every kid an opportunity to be reached and there's an equitable opportunity for this kind of resources, which is a struggle right now in the Department of Education, but teachers are doing amazing work to make that happen. And then let's make sure teachers are getting the opportunities to understand how to best work with students in this environment so that their students can benefit from all this incredible research that's been done in the last 20 years about what works in virtual environment.
Do you think more schools will start going to this online learning and not just at the college level? I mean, how young does this type of learning, what's the grade level that you think this would be appropriate for?
We already know, looking towards the fall, that it is not a strong likelihood that we can go back to the old normal, where we expect schools to be open all the time, where kids can interact freely, at least for the foreseeable future, given the concerns around spread of disease and the closeness and proximity of a school environment, 1,000, you know, adolescents with, 200 adults all packed into a few thousand square feet is just a prescription that we don't want to see happen until we're sure that we can control for, you know, those kind of opportunities where the disease spreads. So I think a lot of folks are looking at what the fall would need to look like, and that means probably using more virtual tools by necessity, being prepared for maybe having a week away from school while an incident is followed up and a contract trace is done. And so I think there's going to be, for all schools, a necessity to have a more thought-out plan for how do teachers make sure that the work they're designing isn't just contingent on seeing kids face-to-face 3, 4, 5 days a week, but also if we don't see them every day or maybe we don't see them for an extended time. So I think we are going to need to plan for a more broad adoption of these practices. And it won't be an either or, like we can either do it or we can't. It'll be a yes and. Yes, we are still valuing the importance of meeting as a community, and we're building in strong, you know, pedagogical structures and assessment practices that provide us to both have students learn and show evidence of learning using virtual tools. So I think that that's just, it looks like the most likely scenario for schools at a minimum to have to address, if not to be ready by August 2020. The age level is a really interesting one because at Mid-Pacific even, we've got right now, you know, pre-K, 3-year-olds all the way through, you know, 18-year-olds on our campus. And what we're doing in our elementary education and early childhood education is very different than what we're doing in our high school because the needs of learners at that early ages require a different kind of high touch point with what students are doing and what information and activities we've been asking them to do and how important it is for the teachers to have an opportunity for those students to feel connected to each other in the learning. And so one of the phrases at Mid-Pacific that we've adopted is parent as co-researcher, where the high-touch environment that most younger children have with their parents is something to leverage and to support parents more in how to help their kids, even though we still plan for and have online time for our younger children to meet with their teachers. That time is a context-setting time for the home time where the students are doing things, maybe with parents, maybe with each other if they have siblings, maybe independently with work that they're doing. But that's a different kind of structure recognizing how younger learners are. Hawaii Technology Academy, which is, you know, our largest charter school in the state of Hawaii and has been doing this work for over a decade, has worked with early childhood, or with at least with elementary level education as well as middle and high school. And they've recognized that the role of parent in this developmental process with young learners is critical to help make sure that the kinds of actions and responses that happen in a learning environment are there for younger learners when they need it. It's interesting. You know, we've been working with teachers for a decade now, and what's interesting to us is even though the media by which we can support teachers and the media that they have to work in is different, good learning, good teaching, good student work hasn't changed. It, you know, the fact that a student is learning virtually doesn't get rid of 100 years of research about how students learn best. So, you know, the challenge isn't changing what teachers already know are best practices, because most teachers know that when their students are engaged, when there's multiple ways for students to get to things, when there's opportunity for them to reflect and to dialogue with each other, that those are still valued. So in our work in Kupuho, we're not changing the things that we still value when we work with teachers, but the ways that we're doing it, just like for teachers that now have to teach virtually, the ways by which they're reaching their students for us has changed. So we've turned those into virtual opportunities to connect our community together and give them a place to talk and learn from each other and to have some additional tools to add to their tool belt so they feel better prepared to work in their new virtual environments that they have to work in for at least the next few months and maybe beyond. So I think that's been, it's interesting. The thing that hasn't changed is the importance of really well thought out learning experiences. It's the means by which we provide those to kids that is what we're all working towards better providing.
Dr. Hines, thanks you for taking the time to talk today.
It's been a pleasure, and I wish you the best. And I just want to say a quick shout out to all the teachers that have rolled up their sleeves and go to school every day now, even if it's at their kitchen table, to still make a difference in kids' lives, because that's why we all are doing this.
That was Mark Hines, director of MIDPAC's Kupuho Academy. All teachers interested in their free online training can go to kupuho.midpac.edu or find links on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.